First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, and we are taking your take on Bubba Wallace and NASCAR and the situation. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you can get in on it. You can also tweet me, at Jason Fitz. You've heard some First Take. You've heard from me and Will. I want to hear from you guys on this conversation as well. Remember that reports were that there was a noose in the working garage on the race site for Bubba Wallace after the race, and that immediately caused a reaction from NASCAR, and it caused an investigation from the FBI. Rather than put anyone's words into anyone's mouth, I want you to again hear from NASCAR, the NASCAR president, about the FBI investigation specifically and what they found.
The evidence is very clear that the noose that was in that garage had been in the garage previously. The last race we had had there in October, that noose was present. And it was, you know, the fact that it was not found until a member of the 43 team came there is something that is a fact. We had not been back to the garage. You know, it was a quick one-day show. The crew member went back in there. He looked at saw the noose, brought it to the attention of his crew chief, who then went to the NASCAR series director, Jay Fabian, and we launched this investigation.
Now, that's obviously the best update you can get from exactly the process that went down for them. I want you to hear what Bubba Wallace tweeted just a few minutes ago. His tweet, quote, "It's been an emotional few days. First off, I want to say how relieved I am that the investigation revealed that this wasn't what we feared it was. I want to thank my team, NASCAR, and the FBI for acting swiftly and treating this as a real threat. I think we'll gladly take a little embarrassment over what the alternatives could have been. Make no mistake, though some will try, this should not detract from the show of unity we had on Monday and the progress we've made as a sport to be a more welcoming environment for all." And now, you're going to hear a little bit from me and obviously from everybody else. I want your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN. I will say a lot of what Bubba Wallace has just said there makes sense to me. We had a caller just before the break that was talking about the apologies owed. Remember, Bubba Wallace did not plant something. Somebody on Bubba Wallace's team thought they saw something that they identified as a noose. They reported it. They cut it down. Bubba Wallace became aware of it afterwards. Bubba Wallace then came out and has spoken on it. NASCAR spoke swiftly about it, adamantly about it, that it would be a heinous act. And they spoke swiftly and adamantly that they would investigate it, that the FBI would get involved. All of these things happened, and we found that it wasn't a hate crime. So I struggle to see exactly where the need is for an apology. So that's my take on it. I want yours, but I also want you to hear some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Bubba Wallace joined Max and Stephen A. Rather than speak for him, Bubba Wallace joined Max and Stephen A. to discuss the FBI reporting there was no hate crime and the progressive movement in NASCAR right now.
Yeah, well, obviously I was relieved knowing that I wasn't targeted at anything. My family was safe, so that's super important. I thank the FBI and NASCAR for taking swift action into something that definitely resembled something that could be a hate crime. But at the end of the day, it's all clear now, and knowing that they did their intense research, and the information that I was given from the start of it to the end was cut and clear, and now it's over.
Bubba, thank you for being on the show, my brother. There are those who will look at what the findings are, that this was not a hate crime, and would say, see, there was an overreaction, and as a result, NASCAR should not have acted the way that it should act. Maybe we should all slow down in this. What do you say to people who are saying those kind of things right now?
We should all slow down. You know, yeah. Are we hypersensitive to everything that's kind of going on right now in the world? Absolutely. But if you were in my shoes, and I doubt anybody could walk in my shoes, especially at this moment, you would go down that route just time and time again. From the moment I had the conversation with Steve Phelps to the last conversation I had with the FBI, which I never thought I'd be on the phone with FBI. So that was always something new. But you know, unfortunately it's part of our life, part of my life that will stick with me. And I'll learn from this and grow from this and continue to push the positive message forward with what we're trying to change, not only in our sport, but in the world.
Bubba, it's been described as a door pull, the object that was originally described as a noose. In your life, have you ever seen a door pull fashioned as a noose before? And how many door pulls have you seen?
Look at that picture right there. I mean, look at it hard. Hey, yeah, it's you're zoomed in. It's a little fuzzy, but That's a hell of a garage pull there. And I've been racing since I was 9 years old. I'm 26 now. I'll be 27 this year. And Max, I've never seen a garage pull like that. It makes me want to drive over to my mom's house where we used to race out of our garage and show a garage pull. Yes, it was a garage pull for our stall at Talladega, but that was in the solid shape of a noose. And when my guys seen that, when my crew member had seen that, who happened to be African-American, he did his research first, and I was very proud of that. David Krops, a guy I'll stand by in any trenches any day, walked up and down the garage to make sure he wasn't overreacting. And when he seen that the other garage pulls were basically just a solid piece of rope, no knots in them, and we had a knot that was in the shape of a noose, yeah, so there, that calls.
So does it seem, Stephen, I'm sorry, just as a follow-up, so does it seem to you not that that was a noose fashion to send you a message, but that it was, in fact, a noose fashioned by someone at an earlier date? The reasons unknown why they would do it.
Absolutely. I don't know if it's like, hey, I'm going to tie this as a noose, see if anybody catches it. Well, hey, guess who caught it? The one guy that will catch it, the one team that will catch it. Somebody knows, whoever tied it knows how to tie a noose, and you know, that's fine. I don't know if they did it with hate in their heart or what as a joke, but it ended up being a misunderstanding, some will say. But just unfortunately, I hate that I'm kind of on the bad end of the deal because of it, just because I was simply given information, you know, related to me, and we went on with it.
Well, first of all, you ain't on the bad end of the deal, not in most people's eyes, at least most decent God-fearing people. Don't worry about that, bro. But I will ask you this question, because based off of what you said earlier, you said the shoes that you're walking in, people don't realize what those shoes are like. Give us some clarification on what you mean by that. Give us an idea of what you've been dealing with for years and what you're dealing with now in this particular NASCAR environment. Could you explain that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's about size 10 and a half. Usually wear some Nikes and some Jordans, just to kind of be descriptive there. But honestly, Stephen A., it's something that that my journey throughout this sport the last, 6-7 years, you know, haven't been the easiest. I was able to win a truck race in 2017 there in Michigan. But other than that, I've been clawing and fighting my way for race wins, for big time sponsorships, and just the utmost respect and dignity in the sport. And I know that's all earned. And I go out on the racetrack and race people how they race me, and settle in for that. And then off the track, the last couple weeks, I have taken on a new role with inside myself, with inside my heart, to stand up for change inside this world, inside this nation. But it ultimately starts inside my household and my community and the racing community as well. So I'm trying to do everything I can on the right foot to spread positive love, compassion, and understanding to my peers and my competitors, and help them understand. The messaging all of us drivers put together last week, in the last couple of weeks, was understanding, listening, and learning to others and hearing their stories so that they can educate themselves. And so that's what I'm trying to do throughout all of this, put the negative stuff behind. I'm getting lectured by my team of not reading into the negative stuff, and I hear it loud and clear. And so I'm moving on from that and trying to continue to stand up for what's right and walk proud in my shoes. But it ain't easy when you go out and say what's on your chest and get the Confederate flag removed from NASCAR events, and you have a fan base that is so passionate about that flag that is afraid of change. It's not just a flag. They're afraid of change in the world, and they will stand up and fight for that until the end of time. And I respect that, but it's about coming together and creating unity in our sport and in our world to make everybody feel inclusive. And that's what NASCAR's initiative is about, inclusion and diversity. And I'm trying to help that on all matters.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, and that's some straight talk. Straight talk wireless, no contracts, no compromise. It comes from Bubba Wallace himself. Now, I got to give you my take, and I'm going to take your calls. You guys have stacked the lines, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want to go all the way back to June 22nd and read you what NASCAR's initial statement was. Their initial statement, late Sunday afternoon, NASCAR was made aware that a noose was found in the garage stall of the 43 team. We are angry and outraged and cannot state strongly enough how seriously we take this heinous act. We've launched an immediate investigation and will do everything we can to identify the person or persons responsible and eliminate them from the sport. As we have stated unequivocally, there is no place for racism in NASCAR, and the act only strengthens our resolve to make this sport open and welcoming to all. I think it's important to reread that statement because I struggle to find the accusation. I'm seeing a lot of you guys on social media or that have called into the show that are talking about accusations and lies that were made. Okay? What NASCAR did was they reacted to a report, and they reacted swiftly, and they reacted mincing no words. They came out strongly and spoke on how they feel about even the implication that there was a noose. Now, turns out that they weren't right. It turns out that it didn't happen. This is a good thing for the sport to come out and find out, because let's face it, the accusation was that somebody within the sport or somebody within the room had the opportunity to do this. To find out that that didn't happen is actually a breath of, it's a sigh of relief from NASCAR. So what you have is somebody within Bubba Wallace's team that saw what they thought was a noose. They were wrong. You see, but it was cut down before Bubba Wallace had the opportunity to even see it. Bubba Wallace reacts to somebody he trusts that works with him talking about this. NASCAR reacts to the report. The FBI investigates. They find out that this didn't happen. They find out that it's not what everybody thought it was. They find the explanation to it. Find the error in any of this for me. And I'll go on record saying the way we've handled it on this show, we talked about the unity and everybody coming together. Find the mistake in any of the way that it's been covered. Find the mistake and who we wronged. If you're a defense attorney, who are you even defending right now? I can't see who was wronged. I want your take on it. Mike in Boston, what's your take on Bubba Wallace?
So personally, I just think coming back to what Will Cain said to you, he used the phrase, "We can't let a 24-hour news cycle be the excuse for falsely covering something." I think you've gotten way far from that. I think it seems as though there was a noose on the ground in a garage that was just left there symbolically. And then news came out that it was fashioned to a handle. It was hanging there as a tool. And for some reason, the correction or the distinction was never made that it was being used as a handle. It wasn't placed on the ground just there symbolically. It was there being used. And the mistake that was made, to answer your question, is nobody vetted the initial report. Yes, you said Bubba trusted the guy who is on his team. The problem is NASCAR trusted him. You have to look at this and say,
so where's the problem? I mean, so what? So what? Where's the negative to that? They trusted somebody that saw something they were wrong about. Where's the negative in that? What harm has been done?
You have a due diligence. You have to do your due diligence and have responsibility.
So then let me ask you, I want to stop you right there, and I want you to answer a very specific question. I work for ESPN. So when something happens like this for NASCAR on a Monday, am I supposed to not talk about it because we don't have full information and an investigation isn't complete? Is that really what you're telling me? That on ESPN, I shouldn't talk about a NASCAR report about a noose in a garage because I don't have all the information?
No, I think that that you should cover it correctly and entirely. There was information available
So what did I not cover correctly or entirely? If you're going to come at me and question the way I covered it, you damn well better tell me what I didn't do right. Okay, so what did I not cover? When I talked about unity and the drivers coming together, when I talked about the change in perception for NASCAR, when I talked about the fact that people have come together around Bubba Wallace and it's a moment that they're going to remember for 50 years because there was a different level of unity between drivers no matter what you believed in. Find the lie. Spot the lie in what I covered.
I didn't say you made a lie, and Will Cain didn't either. It's news media in general didn't cover this.
Then who? Tell me who specifically in news media you're digesting that covered this as a lie.
Last night, I was listening to Freddie Coleman say, "What is NASCAR hiding?" The information was already available that it was just a handle on a rope, and he's saying it's still a noose in a garage. It's not a noose in a garage. It's a bowling knot on the handle of a doorknob.
And at this point, I will say this. Freddie is somebody I love and respect the hell out of. So I'm not going to say I didn't hear Freddie last night, but I will say this. There's an article right now on ESPN.com written by Ryan McGee. And if you're a NASCAR fan and you don't respect Ryan McGee, there's nothing I can say about it. And it breaks down some of the questions that are asked about it. And one of those is, how did that noose sit there for so long? All right. There are still questions about the noose. And that is part of, I'm sure, what Freddie was covering. I can't speak for Freddie. I wasn't with Freddie. I don't know. But I can speak for the majority of us. And look, for everyone that keeps saying the media, don't come at me with the media. Come at with me or with specifics. Jake in Nebraska. Jake, what do you got? What's your take on Bubba Wallace? Jake, we got you? Trying for Jake. Right, well, we'll try Alex next. I can't hear my guy, so I don't know if they've lost me. Alex in Virginia. Alex, what do you got? What's your take?
Thank you for taking my call, Jason. I just want to let you know that not everybody from Virginia is like the last caller from Virginia. Bubba has not said a word that has been inappropriate. He's been right on point all the way through. And I don't think the media made the mistake. If any apology has to be made, it's from NASCAR for jumping to an incorrect conclusion at the beginning. And that's what that's the point Will was trying to make yesterday, is that people are jumping to conclusions instead of waiting for the truth.
So, and I hear that. And so let me ask you a follow-up question to that. If NASCAR had come out and said, we're going to investigate this, we don't want to jump to any conclusions, but we're going to investigate this to the fullest, do you think that that would have been received well in the moment?
I really don't know how that would have been received in the moment. It's hard to look back and say, would it have been different? But
I guess by
jumping to a conclusion for seeing a loop that could have been mistaken for a noose, by jumping to a conclusion that someone did something heinous and that's how they did it. They said, this is a heinous act. And instead of waiting for an investigation, they jumped to a conclusion. And the point Will is trying to make is, because they jumped to the conclusion and then the truth turned out to be something else, then the Black Lives Matter and racial injustice and all of that has been hurt, because people who do have the bigotry in them are saying, look at this. Look at this. This shows that it's not as bad as it really is. And that's how Will is saying that the racial inequality and Black Lives Matter has been hurt.
And so I hear that, and I appreciate your take on it. I would argue that NASCAR's initial statement of this is a heinous act and will not be accepted and we're going to figure out who did it. I would argue that that doesn't hurt people in my mind. I understand your logic to it, to say, hey, it hurts the movement overall whenever something like this happens or is accused and it turns out to not be true. I hear that, and I do respect that. I also think that when you're NASCAR and you've just asked for the flag to come down, and then you've had an event where, 25 cars or so flew Confederate flags outside of a race, I do think that there's a different sort of understanding. When you're trying to show the world you've changed, and the perception of the sport is not the reality of the sport, when you're trying to prove that, I don't know that you can react softly or quietly to these sort of allegations. Especially when your reaction doesn't specifically name or harm anyone. I would have a much different opinion on this if they had gone after somebody specifically saying someone did this, but they didn't. And that's part of why I struggle to see where the harm is in it. You know, that's part of where my disconnect is.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. I say it to you guys all the time. Absolutely love this show and getting to hang out with you guys because we get to have real and sometimes difficult conversations. Because I'm always going to come at you guys with respect, I hope, and I hope you do the same for me. Part of what's been awesome over the course of this journey, throughout the course of this year, taking this show, has been being able to have debates with you guys, but know that it's all out of love. So I love that we can do that, and hopefully even when we're pushing each other to continue thinking and to continue broadening our own horizons and how we look at all of this. I believe that the reason we can disagree at times is because we can get heated, because through it all, we all understand each other at some human level. That's part of what makes this show amazing for me to host every single week or every single day, and it's what I'm thankful for. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's important to say that because I know we've gotten heated today about Bubba Wallace. We'll get more of your take coming in on Bubba Wallace and the NASCAR situation in just a couple of minutes. But there's a lot of big news happening around the NBA, and when it happens to this level, I need to get an expert in. So we head over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where we're joined by ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks. Bobby, thanks for the time. I hope you and yours are safe. Obviously, we're going to start seeing tests, which means we're going to start seeing players decide that they're not comfortable playing in Orlando because of COVID-19 or because of their own personal risk. So as a former front office employee, how do you navigate these waters in a way that still makes players feel respected, but also gives you some opportunity to build a team?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think the first thing is that you better make sure that you have a pool of possible free agents / replacements for either players that, you know, elect not to play. You know, certainly we've seen three with Davis Bertans, Trevor Reason, and Avery Bradley last night. And then what happens if a player tests positive for coronavirus when we get to Orlando here? So I think how you handle is that every player has the right to do what they feel is the best interest for themselves, either financially, whether it be Bertans, who is going to be a free agent this summer and is looking at a payday north of, you know, $10 million. I mean, Ariza and Avery Bradley are, you know, those are personal situations because it's related to their families. There's not a playbook for this, right? If you're in the front office, as far as how you are dealing with it, I think if it's a player that elects to not play for a social justice issue, I think I would certainly want to have a conversation as far as figuring out what your platform is going to be, as far as what are you going to do when we're playing and you're at home. But yeah, you know, it's funny, Jason, when we stopped playing in March, when a player tests positive, it was like, you know, it was like headline news. And I think it still is, but now it's kind of more the norm, right? I mean, Malcolm Brogdon tested positive and I didn't really get much of a reaction from it because, you know, best case scenario, Brogdon recovers in 2 weeks. He'll probably be on that plane going to Orlando and he'll probably play, you know, like if everything works out, he'll play at the end of July. So I think we just take it day by day. We figure out where the testing is going to be. And if teams have to replace players, they'll have the list of players ready to do so.
I think you make such a great point. We're talking to ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks. I've been joking lately. One positive test shut down all of sports, and now we see 30 kids on one football team get it. And we're like, no, it's good. We're still going to play. So, Bobby, is there a lingering effect in the relationship between a team and a player if they decide not to play?
Yeah, so it's interesting because, you know, Avery Bradley is the first of the players, and nothing against Trevor Ariza or Davis Bertans, but those were guys on teams that were just trying to get into the playoffs, where now you have Avery Bradley, who is on certainly the top team in the Western Conference, a team that, has a chance to win it all. I don't think so. I think it's the situation with his son, and I understand it, and that Laker team likely was going to be there until, at the minimum, the end of September. He would have liked to have brought his family and his kids there. This situation doesn't permit it, and I certainly understand. So I don't think so, but you never know. I mean, it's human in nature where if you're in a front office and a player doesn't show up and you're looking to win a championship, if it's not a valid reason, do you hang that over their head when we get into free agency? You know, Avery Bradley's got a player option for next year, so he'll likely be back. But it is going to be interesting as far as if there are going to be any other big names or any other names that are going to be on teams that, you know, have a a legit chance to win this all.
So I'm going to, I usually ask you to go back and run a franchise. Now I'm going to give you a new career. It's career day, Bobby Marks. Today I'm going to make you an agent. And so now you are an agent that represents NBA players in this bubble. Would you recommend to your client that they play?
I think it depends on the situation. I really do. I mean, I think from a health standpoint, you know, there's so much unknown. I mean, even like with Nikola Jokic, who tested positive yesterday, you know, when Jokic comes back from overseas, he's going to have to go through a cardiac screening, certainly have to go through quarantine. What do we know what the lasting effect is going to be for a player to test, you know, test positive? I think if I had a player who was going to be a free agent and is on one of these bubble teams, and even maybe a team that's in that eight hole, I would recommend them not playing. I would recommend them sitting out. I think it's a little bit different for the Donovan Mitchells and the Jason Tatums of the world who are rookie extension, and if they're able to get this insurance policy, I think I think that's a little bit different for me. But yeah, from an agent perspective, if I had a key free agent, I would even recommend, and Brandon Ingram can do whatever he wants, and I know that team is trying to get in the playoffs, but if I was Brandon Ingram in New Orleans, I would think long and hard about going to Orlando to participate, knowing that you have a lucrative contract that is likely waiting for you when it comes to October.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're talking ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks. So for a lot of these teams that aren't necessarily looking at a championship, they are looking at the opportunity to at least get more reps in and work together as a team. When you look at what we're going through right now and trying to figure out how it affects next season, how does it benefit or hurt teams as they continue to look forward to next year?
Well, I think for the 22 that are going there, you know, teams like, you know, Brooklyn, they signed Tyler Johnson last night, so they kind of look at players like that and on a tryout basis, you know, Tyler Zeller in San Antonio. I think, you know, it's for teams like Phoenix, teams that would not be in this position, or even Washington. I think it's a great opportunity to put their players that would not be in a position, and, you know, certainly playoff-wise, in games that probably mean something. I think it hurts, you know, some of these eight teams that are not participating, like Cleveland and Atlanta, some of these younger teams that would have benefited from these extra eight games, because they're basically sitting on the sidelines until you know, training camp starts in November, unless there's some type of from OTA. So I do think there is a benefit for some of these bubble teams, just because it gives some of their younger players an opportunity to play in games that do mean something as far as either advancing, advancing into the playoffs.
We're talking to ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks. So Bobby, I feel like every time we talk, I ask you the same question, but as we get closer to the return, I'm even more interested in it. The Milwaukee Bucks are the team that I continue to look at with tons of pressure on them because, face it, Giannis is going to have an option. He can go somewhere else. They got to prove they can win. Does this truncated playoff at this point, as we get closer to it, does it put more or less pressure on Milwaukee to actually get something done?
I think if they don't have any key injuries or a key player testing positive for the coronavirus and they get bounced out into round two, I think that, yeah, I think there is certainly pressure there. I think if there's circumstances based on, I think if I was Giannis and I have the opportunity to sign this Supermax, I guess it's October 18th now. You know, I think I have to look at the big picture approach here, but yeah, I mean, but let's face it. I mean, we can talk about the Lakers. We can talk about the Clippers. This is for who I think is probably the team to beat here based on talent alone. So yes, there is some pressure there because of, you know, the circumstances. The circumstances is that there is a Supermax contract waiting for him. And if he doesn't sign it, then the speculation will begin as far as a player going into the last year of his contract.
Now, you mentioned talent, but it's hard for me not to look at these strange situations and think that coaching is going to matter more than ever in the NBA, as strange as that sometimes sounds. There are several coaches that are at a higher risk going into the bubble. So how should higher risk coaches be sort of approaching this opportunity to go in and, you know, honestly, knowing the repercussions that are possibly there for them and the career repercussions, how should they be approaching all of this?
Yeah, and there's a bunch. I mean, especially when you look at, you know, Greg Popovich in San Antonio and Alvin Gentry and New Orleans and Mike D'Antoni in Houston. I think it's got to have to be on each person's, each coach's, their choice as far as a consultation with their team doctor, their own personal physician, and if there's a green light for them to coach, I think, you know, I would leave it up to them to do so. And if they feel that there is a threat, or if there's a, if they are high risk from their standards, and certainly then they shouldn't be out there. But I'm going to leave it up to those three guys. And if I think from an NBA standpoint, then you probably, from a legal standpoint, then you're probably going to have these guys sign a waiver that the league is not going to be responsible if there is a, you know, if there is a medical situation that occurs.
How comfortable? Same thing I've asked all the former athletes. So I'll ask the former front office employee. How comfortable would you be going into the bubble in this situation?
I was a lot comfortable a week ago. I was. Tonight, Jason, I live in Florida, so I get it. I see it. I see the numbers. I was gung-ho about the bubble 2 weeks ago or a week ago because I thought we were not going to get hit hard with these numbers here. And I'm concerned. I'm not going to lie to you. I am really concerned as far as what is going to happen at the end of July because I just don't know. I do think it is probably going to be more safer than where you are in your home market because it is in such a controlled environment. And, yeah, of course, the people coming in and out as far as Disney employees, there is a risk there. But, I mean, we're in a hot zone. I mean, you know, we're in a hot zone in Florida where we had 5,500 test positives yesterday. It's the highest that we've seen since this all started. So I felt better a week ago. I don't feel as good right now. But I do know that bubble has a chance to be pretty safe, not safe proof. That's kind of, I'm just taking it day by day. I think that's how I'm going to have to do. I think we all have to take it day by day here.
Well, we'll be taking it day by day, at least for one more day, because the deadline to declare whether or not they're playing for NBA players is tomorrow. So we'll keep an eye on that. Bobby, as always, I appreciate your insight on all of this, your honesty on it. Stay safe, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
I appreciate you too. Thanks.
Bobby Marks with a great breakdown there, as always, giving us sort of the scope from a front office mind, which I think is really important because there's tough decisions to be made. And as much as I want to believe that athletes can just make these decisions based on what's best for their families, I also look around and say business has to be in the back of their minds, figuring out what it means for their business now and what it means for their futures. The phone lines are stacked. You guys are fired up about Bubba Wallace. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. As we always do, when you're fired up about it, we let you take over. So next up, we'll let you get your take in. First Take Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I've been giving you my take. You've heard First Take. You've heard what Stephen A. and Max and Will Cain and Bubba Wallace have all had to say about Bubba Wallace, about the NASCAR controversy, about the obvious situation that we're in right now where NASCAR finds, they do the investigation. The FBI has found that there was no hate crime. So now what? What's it mean as we move forward? You guys want to chime in on it? I want to let you. Obviously, some of these debates have been spirited, so all I ask is that we all remain respectful and that we back up what we think with fact as often as we possibly can. Let's start with Jake in Nebraska. Jake, what you got, man? What's your take?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Jason. I guess, to me, Bubba doesn't have to apologize to anyone. If anyone should apologize, to me, it's the racetrack, Talladega. Because if they're a professional racetrack, you mean to tell me that it sat empty since October and no one went in to clean it, of the garages? I don't know how a race car works or how garages work or anything like that, but no one went in after 8 months to clean it or wipe it down or anything like that, especially in the age of the coronavirus where everything's supposed to be wiped down and clean. They don't have the protocol to go in there and clean everything. My other thought is if it was tied just since October, how come the previous crew hasn't come out and said, hey, yeah, we were in that garage, we tied that knot or that noose, whatever you want to call it, and it was that marine knot, and it wasn't intended to be a noose. How come no one's come out and admitted it and said, hey, yeah, that was us, it wasn't a hate crime? But it, to me, none of the facts are really lining up.
Well, and you speak to some of the things Ryan McGee's mentioned on a great article on ESPN.com that points out why there are still some investigations going on. And obviously, there's more information trying to be gathered. Joe in L.A., Joe, what's your take on Bubba?
I'm a big fan of Bubba. My take is corporate America needs to step up and get this guy the money necessary to actually compete in NASCAR. He's at best in a 20th place car every week. And we need drivers in victory lane to look more like America. And I think that if we want something positive to come out of all of this, corporate America needs to step up and get him the sponsorship necessary to compete with the Kyle Busches and the Jimmy Johnsons and the Kevin Harvicks.
And I think that's frankly going to be happening. I think we're going to see that over the course of it. And look, NASCAR did also, they had an incredible moment Monday night that was fun to watch, watching everybody come together, right? And they gave everybody an exciting race. The more times that NASCAR gets these extra eyeballs and gives a great race, the more opportunity to win fans over. And that's going to continue to be part of the draw for it. Kyle in Long Island. Kyle, what's your take?
Yeah, hey, how are you? Whatchamacallit? I just had a quick answer, and I think it's in relation to exactly what's going on and why you're having Verity answers on your show, is that everyone's speaking about inequality, but I think a lot of times what's happening is that a lot of people their voice and their opinions are being suppressed, especially, I would say, white Republicans. So if you have a varying viewpoint and you're not polarized for somebody, then your viewpoint is considered incorrect. So a lot of times people feel like, well, that's unfair. So the underlying factor in this case was that, oh, somebody made a noose and was going to try and send a message to him to hang him. I'm assuming the underlying take of that is this is another white person that's going to do this. So I think people need to realize that, A, there's people that can support two things at once. You can support Black Lives Matter, but you can also support the police. You can also support Bubba Wallace. But they need to understand that there needs to be an equal voice. And the other problem is media in this day and age is probably is dominated by Democrats and liberals. So a lot of times your voice in the media is not shown and people feel it's very unfair. And then at the same extent, you have a perfect storm.
Well, and thanks for your take. We're up against it. I'll say this to you. It's funny how when I first came to the network, I was labeled oftentimes as a conservative Republican white guy because I'm from the South. And so many of my viewpoints apparently allow people to put that label on me. Now, over the last week, suddenly I've become part of the woke problem. It's funny being in this situation where as I grow and just trying to figure out what I think about different issues, it's impossible for an audience not to make a million presumptions about what that means about me. I think we could all afford to do more listening. I just can't find the wrong done by Bubba Wallace. The Will Cain Show coming up. I'm going to be on it later. I'll continue my debate with Will. Thanks for hanging.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.